Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're going to tackle procurement this time. And you found this YouTube video for us. It's a whole live stream about it.
It is.
It's a lot.
Oh, yeah.
But we're here to unpack it all.
Absolutely. We're going to break it all down. The
Hello.
entire procurement life cycle, from that initial request to actually getting the goods. But we're also going to dig into some of the stuff that's not so obvious,
Michael.
but really important, like stuff that really trips people up.
Okay, give me an example.
Have you ever thought about how something as simple as a material code can just totally mess up your inventory? Or how knowing these things called Incoterms can give you a real edge when you're negotiating?
Okay, now you've got me intrigued.
All right.
Let's dive in. What's the first thing I need to know?
So first, you got to understand the two main types of procurement,
Okay.
CapEx and OpEx.
Okay.
CapEx stands for capital expenditures,
Huh?
while OpEx refers to operational expenditures.
Gotcha. So CapEx, is that like when you buy a fancy new machine for your factory?
Exactly. It's those big investments in assets that are like the foundation of your business.
Okay.
So that could be equipment, hardware, software, even big upgrades to your facilities.
Gotcha. And then OpEx. That's like the stuff you need to keep the lights on, keep the machines running.
You got raw materials, utilities office, supplies, maintenance,
Okay.
day-to-day expenses. Now, whether we're talking about CapEx or OpEx, the procurement process usually follows five main stages.
Okay.
So those are requirement gathering, strategy phase, execution mode, receipt, and inventory and supplier performance management.
Okay. So it's kind of a step-by-step.
It is.
Makes sense. Where does it all begin?
It all starts with demand planning.
Okay.
And this video really emphasized how crucial this is for getting the whole procurement process going in the right direction.
Okay. They kept mentioning this thing called a sales and operations planning meeting. Is that where the magic happens?
Yes, precisely. That's where all the key people from sales, operations, and procurement get together to forecast demand. They look at historical data, market trends, sales projections, and try to figure out what needs to be produced or procured
Okay.
over a certain period, usually like a rolling 3 to 6 months.
That makes sense. And that's where this whole bullwhip effect comes into play, right?
Yes.
That the video was talking about. It sounded like even small miscalculations about how much you need
Right.
can just spiral out of control.
It's fascinating, isn't it? Imagine each stage of the supply chain,
Yeah.
they add a little buffer to their demand forecasts.
Right. Just to be safe.
Yeah, just in case.
Yeah.
And then as that information moves upstream, those tiny little buffers, they compound
Oh, wow.
and they create this huge distortion.
Huh.
So suddenly, the tire company that they talked about in the video,
Yeah.
they end up with way more rubber than they need because a few dealers slightly overestimated their tire
Oh,
needs.
wow. So it's like a game of telephone,
Yeah.
but with inventory.
It
Makes sense to me.
disaster.
Yeah.
Yeah, it leads to too much inventory. It ties up your capital. And you can even end up with obsolete stock just sitting there.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Okay. So after this S&OP meeting happens and you've got a demand forecast, what's next?
Then the purchase requisition comes in,
Okay.
or PR for short.
PR, gotcha.
And that's basically just a formal request for goods or services.
So that's where somebody fills out a form in the system, like
Yes.
SAP or whatever system they're using.
Exactly. It captures all the details, what's needed, the budget, quantity, delivery date, and then those super important technical specifications.
And the video mentioned that PRs have to go through
Yes.
a bunch of approvals,
Yes.
especially if it's a big purchase.
Right.
Sounds bureaucratic.
Well, think of it as checks and balances.
Okay.
So the more money that's involved,
Yeah.
the more eyes are going to be on it to
Right.
make sure things are under control
Right.
and that people are being accountable. And this is also where clear scope and those detailed specs are really, really critical.
Yeah.
The video made a point that really stuck with me. Okay.
It said just copy-pasting specs from the internet
Okay.
can actually be a big problem.
Oh, really? Why is that?
Because a lot of times, those specs, they're subtly tailored to favor a particular vendor's products.
Oh, sneaky.
So you might be unknowingly limiting your options.
Oh.
And you end up with a solution that's not actually the best fit.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay.
Okay, so once the PR is approved
Yes.
and you've very carefully
Yes.
crafted your specs,
Yes.
what happens next?
Then we enter the realm of material code management.
Okay.
And this is often overlooked, but surprisingly important.
Okay.
This is where things get really interesting.
I'm all ears.
Okay. So think about it.
Okay.
If you have different codes for the same item,
Yeah.
like let's say you've got three separate codes for just a basic black office chair,
Okay.
you're setting yourself up for chaos.
Right. So you might end up ordering more chairs when you
Exactly.
already have plenty
You got it.
under a different code.
It's a waste of money storage space.
Right. And you might even end up with chairs that become obsolete because you've got so good material code management. It's essential for keeping your inventory lean, your procurement streamlined, and your costs down.
Okay, I'm starting to see why this was such a big deal in the video.
Yes.
So PR is approved. You've got your material codes all sorted. Now you move on to actually sourcing things right.
Exactly. That's where you encounter those three familiar acronyms: RFI, RFP, RFQ,
Yes.
request for information, request for proposal, request for quotation.
Right. So those are like your sourcing toolbox.
Yes. Think of them as different tools. The video talked about RFIs as a way to kind of test the waters with different vendors. It's less formal than an RFP. And you can just gather information without making any commitments. So you might use an RFI when you're still figuring out your exact requirements or you're exploring what's out there.
And RFPs are the big guns.
They are much more comprehensive and structured. You use an RFP when you need vendors to give you a really tailored solution to a specific problem or need.
So you're not just buying a product off the shelf.
Right.
You're getting them to come up with something creative and
Exactly.
unique.
And evaluating RFTs can be really tricky. You're going to have a technical team looking at the capabilities of what's proposed, and then a commercial team analyzing the pricing.
Oh, I bet that leads to some heated conversations.
Absolutely. Weighing all that criteria, technical versus commercial. And the video emphasized something that I thought was important. They said when you're choosing vendors for an RFP, don't just rely on past performance data.
Okay, so don't go with the usual suspects.
Exactly. You want to cast a wider net
Right.
and evaluate them across several key dimensions.
Okay.
So look at their past performance for sure on quality and delivery. Look at their market stability,
Okay.
their ability to execute, how competitive their pricing is, and then their technical expertise specific to that RFP.
Right, so you want the best of the best.
You do.
All competing.
Yes, it's about setting up a really robust
Yeah.
and competitive selection process.
So you've chosen your vendor. Now it's time to get down to brass tacks with all the commercial terms.
Exactly.
And the video made it sound like there's a whole new language to learn here.
There is a bit of jargon, but understanding these terms is crucial for getting good deals and avoiding some potential pitfalls.
Okay, so like what are some of the key terms I should wrap my head around?
We're talking delivery timelines, payment schedules, those Incoterms we talked about, payment modes, insurance performance management penalties, even things like clauses for price escalations.
Okay, so there's a lot to consider.
There is.
Let's start with delivery timelines.
Okay.
Because I remember in the video they said something about making sure that the payment schedule
Yes.
aligns with the delivery milestones
Right.
to reduce risk.
That's a really smart move. You don't want to be in a situation where you paid a bunch of money up front and then the supplier is dragging their feet. Or even worse, they just don't deliver.
Makes sense.
It's about managing risk and making sure everyone's accountable.
Like making sure the contractor finishes the roof
Exactly.
before you give them the final payment.
You got it. And speaking of accountability, have you heard of liquidated damages clauses?
I can't say that I have. What are those?
Those are basically pre-agreed penalties
Okay.
that you put into the contract for things like late deliveries or if the performance isn't up to par.
Okay.
So, for example, you could say that for every week a delivery is delayed,
Right.
the supplier has to pay a penalty, like 0.5% of the total contract
So it's like
value.
an incentive
It
for them to
is.
stick to the schedule.
You got it. It gives you some leverage in case things go wrong.
Okay, and now let's tackle those Incoterms we mentioned earlier. So these are basically a set of rules that everyone agrees on.
Internationally recognized rules that say who's responsible for what and who pays for what when it comes to shipping those goods.
Gotcha. The video made it sound like if you understand those, you can really
You can
have a
really
leg up.
You can.
In the negotiations.
Absolutely. Knowing who's responsible for the transportation insurance customs clearance at every step of the way can have a huge impact on your cost and the risk that you're taking on.
Right.
We can dig into those in a little more detail later. But for now, just remember that they're really powerful tools.
Incoterms.
Yes.
Got to learn those.
Yes.
Okay. Now, what about payment terms? Because the video said paying everything up front is generally not a good idea.
It's not.
What are some of the alternatives?
That's where bank guarantees and letters of credit come into play.
Okay.
They act as safeguards, especially when you're dealing with a new supplier or someone you're not familiar with.
Right. So they help you not get burned.
Exactly.
If the supplier doesn't come through.
Exactly. So let's start with advanced payment guarantees.
Okay.
APGs for short.
Okay.
So instead of just taking the seller's word for it, you get a guarantee from their bank.
Oh, interesting.
It's like a safety net.
Okay.
So if they fail to meet their obligations, you can get your money back from the bank.
So it's not just the seller saying, trust me.
Right.
It's the bank saying, we gotcha.
Exactly. It adds that extra layer of security.
Gotcha.
And then there are performance bank guarantees, or PBGs.
Mm-hmm.
And those are designed to make sure that the equipment or service actually works as promised.
So if I buy some big, expensive piece of machinery and it's a dud, this protects me.
That's the idea.
Okay.
It guarantees that it performs as specified.
Okay.
Or you can claim compensation.
Now, letters of credit, or LCs, they're a bit more complex.
Okay.
They're often used in international trade when there's not a lot of trust.
Right. So like when I'm buying something from a company halfway around the world.
Exactly.
We've never done business before.
And you don't really know them.
Right.
So with an LC, banks on both sides get involved.
Okay. So mine and the seller's.
Exactly. To guarantee the payment will happen.
Okay.
But only when certain conditions are met.
So it's like having a referee.
It is. It's like having a neutral party.
Okay.
Overseeing the whole thing.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It provides a level of security
right.
that traditional payment methods just don't.
Okay. So we've covered CapEx, OpEx demand planning, those purchase requisitions, material codes. We've talked about sourcing.
Yes.
We even touched on some of those payment terms.
Mm-hmm.
What's next?
Now that we've got the financing figured out, it's time to dive into the world of customs clearance.
Okay.
Get ready. Because this is where it can get really intricate. Intricate in what way?
We're talking HS codes, CIF values, those mysterious customs house clearing agents, and even strategies for how to legally reduce those customs duties.
Okay. This sounds like I need another cup of coffee to get through this.
All right.
Let's do it.
Let's get started.
Okay. So let's unravel this customs world. First off, we've got to understand this universal system called HS codes.
HS codes.
Yeah. Or harmonized system codes, if you want to get fancy.
Okay. What are those?
Think of them like a global language for classifying products that are traded.
Okay.
So every single product you can think of, from a tiny little screw to a huge piece of machinery, it has a unique HS code.
Oh, wow. So it's like this universal catalog that everyone agrees on.
Exactly. And it's not just about organizing things.
Right.
These codes are the basis for figuring out import duties and taxes.
Ah, so that's how customs officials know how much to charge when something comes across the border.
That's right.
Yeah.
The video gave an example of natural rubber,
which has the HS code 471.
Okay.
And based on that code, customs can determine the duty rates.
Okay.
And those can vary depending on where it's coming from and any trade agreements that might be in place.
So if I'm importing rubber from, say, Malaysia, the duty might be different than if I'm importing it from Brazil.
That's right.
Okay.
Different countries have different trade agreements.
Right.
And that HS code helps customs figure out the right rates.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay. So how do they figure out the actual value of the goods, though?
Right. That's where CIF value comes in.
Okay.
Cost, insurance, and freight.
Okay.
So basically, that's the total cost to get the goods to their final destination, including the cost of the goods insurance and all those transportation charges.
So if I'm importing electronics,
yeah,
CIF value would include what I paid for the electronics plus the insurance and the shipping fees.
Exactly. And you got to have accurate documentation to back up that CIF value.
Okay.
So customs might ask for invoices, insurance policies, freight bills, just to verify.
So record keeping is super important.
Super important. Any discrepancies could lead to delays, penalties, or even some legal issues.
Yeah, you don't want to mess that up. Now, imagine I'm dealing with this huge shipment multiple HS codes.
Yes.
Mountains of paperwork.
It can get overwhelming.
Yes.
That's where customs house clearing agents come in.
Okay, CHAs.
Yes.
They're like the Sherpas.
Sherpas, like the mountain guides.
Exactly.
That's okay.
They help you navigate all this.
So if I'm a business importing goods all the time,
yeah,
it probably makes sense to have a good CHA.
They can save you so much time and hassle.
Right.
They know the system inside and out.
Okay, I'm convinced CHA's worth it. But let's talk about the elephant in the room here. Customs duties.
Yes.
Is there any way to legally reduce those costs?
That is the million-dollar question.
Right.
And the answer is yes.
Okay, tell me more.
There are ways. The video highlighted a few key strategies.
Oh, okay. Let's hear them. First off, there are free trade agreements.
Okay, FTAs.
Or FTAs for short.
Right.
And those are agreements between countries that basically reduce or eliminate tariffs on certain goods.
So if I'm importing from a country that has an FTA with my country,
yeah,
I could potentially save a lot.
That's the idea. Yeah. But here's the thing. You have to actually claim those benefits.
Oh, really?
Customs officials won't just automatically do it for you.
So you got to do your research.
You do.
Make sure you're taking advantage of any FTAs.
Exactly. Don't leave money on the table.
Right.
The video also mentions some other avenues for reducing duties.
Okay.
Like special schemes for certain types of goods. Okay. For example, there's something called the Export Promotion Capital Goods Scheme in India.
What's that?
It's called EPCG for short.
EPCG. Okay.
And it basically gives duty benefits for imports of capital equipment.
Okay, like machinery and tools.
Exactly. But there's a catch.
Oh, there's always a catch.
The importer has to commit to exporting a certain amount of goods that are produced using that equipment.
So they're trying to encourage domestic manufacturing.
Right.
Gotcha. Okay. So what about imports specifically for R&D?
Yeah. Sometimes those can qualify for duty reductions too.
Oh, interesting.
But there are definitely some things you shouldn't do.
Yeah, I bet. Like what?
The video really cautioned against trying to game the system by misclassifying goods or undervaluing your shipments.
Yeah, that sounds risky.
It is. You could face penalties, fines, even legal trouble.
Right. So honesty is the best policy.
It is. Okay.
So my goods have cleared customs.
Okay.
How do I actually get them from the port to my warehouse?
That's where freight forwarders come in.
Okay.
They're the logistics pros.
Right.
They handle the movement of goods.
Okay.
Both domestically and internationally.
So they're like travel agents.
They are.
But for cargo.
Exactly.
Okay. So they take care of all the arrangements.
Yes. Booking cargo space,
okay,
whether it's on ships or planes, arranging trucking rail transport,
mm-hmm,
managing all the documents.
That sounds incredibly helpful.
Yeah.
Especially for companies that don't have that expertise in-house.
It is. Freight forwarders can be lifesavers.
Right.
Especially if you're new to international trade.
Okay. So they figure out the shipping containers,
yeah,
insurance, all that paperwork.
They handle it all.
Okay. The video mentioned something about detention fees.
Oh, yes. Those are the charges you get hit with.
Okay.
If you don't return those shipping containers to the shipping line on time.
Oh, so it's like a late fee.
It is like a library book.
Yeah.
If you keep it too long.
Gotcha. So if things get delayed in customs,
yeah,
I could end up paying those fees.
Exactly. And they can add up fast.
Oh, wow. So it sounds like choosing the right freight forwarder
is
crucial.
It is. They can make or break your shipments.
Okay. So we've talked about all these contracts.
Yes.
All those details.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't just magically enforce itself.
Right.
What happens after we've signed on the dotted line?
Then we enter the realm of contract management.
Okay.
And this is another area that's super important.
Uh-huh. But often gets overlooked.
So it's not just a matter of filing it away.
No. It's much more than that.
Okay. So what's so important?
Effective contract management is about actively monitoring that contract throughout its entire life.
Okay.
Making sure both sides are holding up their end of the bargain.
Okay.
And managing any hiccups or changes that come up along the way.
So it's not just set it and forget it.
No, it's an active process.
Right.
The video talked about having a centralized system for all your contracts.
Okay, so a place where you can easily find them.
Exactly. Whether it's a physical filing system
or
some fancy digital platform.
Right.
What about those milestones and deadlines?
Yeah, the video kept mentioning.
Those are critical.
Okay.
We're talking delivery dates.
Right.
Payment schedules.
Right.
Renewal options. Anything that could impact the contract.
Right.
Missing those deadlines could lead to penalties.
Right.
Delays. Even a breach of contract.
So it's all about staying organized.
It is. Staying on top of things. Okay. The video also talked about making sure you're actually following
Yes.
all those terms and conditions.
Yes, compliance is key.
But how do you actually do that?
It starts with really understanding the contract,
Right.
knowing what each side is obligated to do,
Okay.
and putting systems in place to monitor it all.
Huh?
Are the goods being delivered on spec?
Right.
Are invoices getting paid on time?
Right.
Are performance guarantees being met?
Okay, so you got to track all of
You
that.
do. It's like a checklist to
Right.
make sure everyone's keeping their promises.
Right. And if there are issues,
You got to have a clear process for
yeah.
dealing with them.
Right. Like talking to the supplier.
Open communication is huge, can
Okay.
prevent small problems from
Right.
becoming big disasters.
Okay. The video also mentioned bringing in the legal team.
Yes.
When does that make sense?
It's usually wise to get them involved
Okay.
when you're drafting the contracts,
Okay.
especially for those really complex or high-value deals. They can help you identify potential red flags,
Right.
negotiate better terms, and make sure that the contract is solid.
So it's like having a legal expert in your corner to
Exactly.
make sure you're protected.
Exactly. It's about minimizing risk
Okay.
and making sure the transaction runs smoothly.
I'm starting to see how this is much more than just filing paperwork.
Oh, yeah.
This contract management,
It
the
is.
whole dynamic process,
Yeah.
it requires constant attention
It does.
and good communication.
And it's also essential
Yeah.
for building those strong relationships with your suppliers.
And speaking of those supplier relationships, the
Right.
video really emphasized going beyond just these transactional interactions
Yes.
and treating your suppliers like strategic partners.
That is the essence of supplier relationship management, or SRM.
Okay, SRM.
It's about moving away from I win, you lose,
Right.
to we both win.
Okay, so it's more than just getting the lowest price.
Oh, absolutely. It's about fostering open communication,
Okay.
collaborating on solutions.
Yeah.
And working together to achieve those shared goals.
I can see how that would make your supply chain much more stable.
It does.
Yeah.
When you have those strong relationships,
Yeah.
you're more likely to get preferential treatment.
Okay.
Early warnings if any problems are brewing, and even opportunities to innovate together.
Right. So it's win-win
It is.
for everybody.
Right.
But how do you actually build those strong relationships?
It starts with clear and consistent communication.
Okay.
So regular meetings, phone calls, emails, even using those vendor management portals for online collaboration.
So just keeping those lines of communication open.
Yes. It's also important to be transparent
Right.
about your expectations and give them feedback
Okay.
on their performance.
So just be honest about what's working
You got it.
and what needs improvement.
And you got to be responsive to their concerns as well
Right.
and work together to resolve any issues.
So just like any relationship,
It
it requires effort.
and communication on both sides.
Yes. And remember, not all suppliers are created equal.
What do you mean?
The video talked about supplier segmentation.
Okay.
So that's categorizing your suppliers
Well.
based on how important they are to your business,
Okay.
how complex the stuff they provide is,
Right.
and their track record.
So you wouldn't treat a supplier that provides essential components the
Exactly.
same way you treat the one that brings your office supplies.
Exactly. You might want to invest more time
Yeah.
and energy
Yeah.
in building a really close relationship with that essential supplier,
Right.
but maybe take a more transactional approach
Right.
with the office supplies.
So it's about being strategic
Yes.
with how you allocate your resources.
That's right. It's about maximizing the value
Okay.
of those supplier relationships.
The video also mentioned something called supplier development.
Yes.
What is that?
That's a really proactive approach
Okay.
to helping your suppliers up their game,
Okay. So helping them
improve their performance.
grow their capabilities. This could involve things like training, sharing best practices, even investing in new technologies.
Wow. So you're investing in their success,
In a way.
which ultimately benefits you,
Exactly.
Clay.
It's about creating that win-win
Yeah.
and building a more robust supply chain.
Okay, so this whole strategic supplier relationship management thing
Yeah.
can be a real game changer.
It can. It's not about squeezing them
Right.
to get the lowest price.
It's about working together to
Yes.
create value for everyone.
You got it. And those strong relationships,
Yeah.
they're built on trust and mutual respect.
Okay, so the video also made a big deal about the role of technology
Yes.
in procurement.
It's becoming more and more important
It is.
all the time.
Yeah.
Streamlining things, automating things.
Right. The video called it digital procurement.
Yes.
So what exactly does that mean?
Basically, It's about using technology to streamline and optimize every single part of the procurement process.
From requesting and sourcing to managing those contracts and evaluating your supplier's performance.
So getting rid of all those old manual processes.
Exactly. Yeah. And embracing those digital tools.
Okay. So give me an example.
Well, instead of manually creating purchase orders,
yeah,
tracking approvals, managing invoices, you can automate all of that with an e-procurement system.
So you're saving time.
Yes.
Reducing errors.
Exactly. And it's not just about efficiency.
Okay.
Digital procurement also boosts transparency and accountability.
Okay.
Because you've got all that data.
Yeah.
In a central system, you can track your spending.
Okay.
Find cost-saving opportunities.
Right.
And make sure you're compliant with all the rules.
Like a dashboard.
Yeah.
For your whole procurement operation.
That's a great way to put it.
What about these vendor management portals?
Oh, yeah. Those are great.
What are those?
They give you a central place to communicate with your suppliers.
Okay.
Share documents. Manage contracts. Track their performance resolve issues.
So it's like a virtual meeting room.
It is.
For buyers and sellers.
Exactly. It streamlines communication.
Yeah.
Makes it easier to collaborate.
Right.
And helps build those stronger relationships.
And the video even talked about data analytics and procurement.
Yes.
Which sounds fascinating.
It is.
How does that work?
It's about using data to get insights into your spending patterns.
Okay.
How your suppliers are performing.
Right.
And those market trends.
So you can find hidden cost savings.
You can negotiate better deals.
Uh-huh.
Even anticipate problems in your supply chain.
It's like a crystal ball.
In a way.
For procurement.
You're not just guessing.
Right.
You're making data-driven decisions.
Right. Okay. So how are companies actually using this data analytics?
Well, they're using it to analyze their spending.
Okay.
Find places where they can consolidate purchases,
right,
renegotiate contracts, maybe even switch to suppliers that are more cost effective.
So they're really squeezing every bit of savings out of the budget.
That's right. They're also using it to track supplier performance and spot potential risks.
Okay. Like what?
Well, if a supplier is constantly late or they have quality issues, the data will show that.
Right.
So you can address it before it becomes a major headache.
So it's like an early warning system.
It is.
For your supply chain.
Exactly. And by analyzing those market trends, procurement teams can anticipate price changes, find new suppliers, and make smarter decisions.
So they're always a step ahead.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the power of data analytics.
Gotcha. Okay. I'm sold. Data analytics is the future.
Yeah.
But the video also mentioned something called e-sourcing.
Right.
How is that different?
E-sourcing is basically using online platforms to connect with more suppliers, conduct online auctions, manage these sourcing events electronically.
So you're taking the traditional process and moving it online.
You got it.
Okay. So what are the benefits?
Well, you can reach a much bigger pool of suppliers, which means more competition.
Right.
Potentially better prices.
Right.
And maybe even some really innovative solutions.
Right.
Plus, it automates a lot of the grunt work.
Right.
So instead of manually sending out all those requests,
right,
collecting bids, evaluating proposals, you can do it all online.
Sounds like a win-win.
It does.
So technology is transforming procurement.
It is.
It's about automation, efficiency, transparency, making smarter decisions.
That's a great summary. But technology is only one piece of the puzzle.
What's the other piece?
You got to be aware of the risks.
Right. The video talked about that. What are some of the key risks?
They highlighted several categories.
Okay.
Supply chain risks.
Mm-hmm.
Financial risks, legal and compliance risks, and even ethical risks.
Okay. Those sound pretty serious. Let's start with those supply chain risks.
Okay. So those are any events circumstances that could disrupt the flow of goods from your suppliers to your business.
So anything that could mess things up.
Exactly.
Okay.
We're talking natural disasters, political instability in supplier countries, transportation breakdowns, suppliers going bankrupt, labor strikes, even cyber attacks.
Oh, wow. So the global supply chain is pretty fragile.
It can be. Especially with how interconnected everything is.
Right.
The pandemic really showed us that.
It did.
Yeah.
So how can companies protect themselves from all of that?
There are some things you can do. The video emphasized diversifying your supplier base.
Okay. Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Exactly. If you depend on just one supplier and something happens to them, you're in big trouble.
Right.
Having multiple suppliers gives you options.
Right. It's like having a backup generator.
Exactly. But diversification is just one piece of it.
Right.
The video also highlighted building strong relationships.
Right, at SRM.
Exactly. Yeah. When you have that open communication with your suppliers, you're more likely to get those early warnings.
Right.
If something's about to go wrong, like a shortage of materials or production delays.
Right.
And you can work together to find solutions.
It's like having allies.
It is.
Looking out for you.
Exactly. And the video also stressed the importance of contingency plans.
Okay. Contingency plans. What are those?
It's basically having a plan B.
Okay.
In case things go sideways.
Okay.
So you identify potential risks, figure out alternative ways to source things.
Okay.
And establish clear ways to communicate
yeah.
if something happens.
So you're not just crossing your fingers.
You're not. You're preparing for the worst.
Right.
Just in case.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay. So we've talked about supply chain risks.
Yeah.
What about those financial risks you mentioned?
Right. So financial risks are anything that could negatively affect your company's finances.
So things that hurt the bottom line.
Exactly. Things like currency going up and down.
Right.
Price volatility for raw materials.
Yeah.
Interest rate hikes that mess with your financing.
Yeah.
Even the risk of suppliers not paying you.
Right.
Or going bankrupt.
But the global economy can be unpredictable.
It can.
So how can companies protect themselves?
Well, the video had some good advice.
Okay.
For example, if you're dealing with international suppliers,
yeah.
you have to be aware of currency fluctuations, mm-hmm. how those can affect your costs.
So if my currency drops,
mm-hmm.
my costs go up.
Exactly. That's where hedging comes in.
Hedging. What's that?
It's basically using financial tools
okay.
to reduce your exposure
uh-huh.
to those currency swings.
So it's like insurance
is.
For your money.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So hedging can help you lock in a good exchange rate.
Okay.
And protect your profits.
Gotcha. Okay. What about those other financial risks?
Right. Like the price volatility
yeah.
and the supplier defaults.
Yeah.
The video stressed the importance of negotiating those payment terms.
Right. So don't just take what they offer.
Right. Push back.
Yeah.
Try to get more favorable terms.
Okay. So what can you negotiate?
Things like longer payment terms,
mm-hmm.
payment milestones that are tied to specific deliverables,
right.
or even using those letters of credit to
right.
mitigate risk.
So instead of paying everything up front,
right.
you can structure it.
You can.
So you're less exposed if something goes wrong.
It's about being strategic
yeah.
with those payment terms.
And doing your due diligence.
Oh, yes.
On your suppliers.
Yeah, it's crucial.
What does due diligence actually mean?
Basically, it's investigating your supplier's financial health.
Okay.
Make sure they're stable and reliable.
Okay.
So check their credit rating. Uh-huh.
Look at their financial statements.
Okay.
Talk to other companies that have worked with them.
So it's like a background check.
It is.
For your suppliers.
You got it.
Okay. So we've talked supply chain risks. We've talked financial risks.
Right.
What about those legal and compliance risks?
Right. So those are about potentially breaking the law,
okay.
violating regulations, or
yes.
not following through
okay.
on your contractual obligations.
So things that could get you in legal trouble.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And these risks can get really tricky
right.
when you're dealing with suppliers in other countries.
Right, because the laws are different.
Different laws,
yeah.
different rules.
Right.
Easy to trip up.
Yeah.
yeah.
Okay, so give me some examples of those legal and compliance risks.
Okay. Well, one common one is breaching contract terms.
Right. So not meeting deadlines.
Exactly. Or
yeah.
delivering stuff
yeah.
that doesn't meet the specs.
Right.
So you got to make sure your contracts are strong
uh-huh.
and that you can actually do what you promised.
Makes sense. Another risk is infringing.
On intellectual property.
Right. Like patents and trademarks.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If I buy stuff from a supplier
yeah.
and it turns out they're infringing,
yeah.
could I be in trouble?
You could. That's why it's so important to do your homework.
Right.
Make sure your supplier has the right to sell those goods.
Okay.
You can also put clauses in your contract that protect you.
Okay.
If there's any infringement.
So it's like a safety net.
Exactly.
Yep.
And then there are compliance risks.
Okay. What are we talking about there?
We're talking about things like violating those import or export regulations,
mm-hmm.
not following environmental laws.
Right.
Or even engaging in unethical labor practices.
Right.
And those can be especially challenging
yeah.
when you're sourcing from countries with different standards.
Right. So it's not just about getting the best price.
It's not.
It's about making sure your suppliers are doing things the right way.
Yes. Ethical sourcing is becoming more and more important.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about that more in a bit. But for now, just remember that compliance is key.
Right.
It protects your company's reputation.
Yeah.
Keeps you out of legal trouble.
Okay. So managing those legal and compliance risks
Yeah.
is a big deal.
It is. You can't ignore it.
And the video gave some tips on how to do that.
It did. One of the key takeaways
Yeah.
is to have strong contracts.
Right. Clear terms and conditions,
Exactly.
well-defined obligations,
Yes.
those legal
You
safeguards.
got it. But it's not just about the contracts themselves.
Okay.
It's about knowing the laws
Right.
and the regulations that apply to your industry and the countries you're dealing with.
So do your homework
You have
and make sure
to.
you're playing by the rules.
Exactly. And if you're dealing with those complex international deals,
Yeah.
it's usually a good idea to get some legal advice.
Right. Get the experts involved.
Exactly. They can help you navigate those tricky waters
Right.
of international trade law,
Yeah.
environmental rules,
Huh.
labor standards.
Yeah. So expert advice can help you avoid costly mistakes.
Absolutely. It's about being proactive
Right.
and doing what it takes to make sure you're compliant.
Okay. So managing those risks,
Yeah,
it's essential.
it is. And it's not just about avoiding fines.
Right.
It's about doing business the right way.
Right. Being ethical.
Exactly. Building trust with your customers and all your stakeholders,
Yeah.
showing them you care about integrity.
Okay. That makes a lot of sense.
Duh.
And that brings us to ethical sourcing, which
Yes,
is getting more attention these days.
it
So what does
is.
that actually involve?
It's about making sure your suppliers are
Yes.
operating in a way that's socially responsible
Okay.
and ethical.
So fair labor practices,
Yes.
environmental sustainability.
Transparent and accountable business practices.
It's doing the right thing, even if it costs a bit more.
It's about finding that balance
Right.
between cost efficiency and ethics,
Right.
recognizing that your decisions have a ripple effect beyond just your bottom line.
Okay. It's about being a responsible company,
It is.
considering the bigger picture, the
Yes.
social and environmental impact.
Consumers are more aware of these things now, and they
Yeah.
want companies to do the right thing.
So ethical sourcing is not just good for the world,
You're right.
it's good
Yeah.
for business.
It is. It can boost your brands. It can really boost your brand's reputation, attract those customers who care about these things,
Right.
and even reduce those legal and reputational risks.
So it's a smart move all around.
It is. But how do you actually implement it?
Right. Because it sounds really challenging,
Yeah.
especially with these big global supply chains.
It is. It's not easy. But there are tools out there to help.
Okay. Like what?
Well, there are supplier audits
Okay.
where you actually go and check out your suppliers' facilities, make
Yeah.
sure they're meeting your
You're
standards.
kicking the tires.
You're making sure everything's legit.
Okay.
And there are third-party certifications out there too.
Right. I've heard of those, like Fair Trade or B Corp.
Exactly. They provide that independent verification that
Okay.
a company is operating ethically and sustainably.
So I can look for suppliers that have those certifications
You can.
as a way to kind of ensure that they meet certain standards.
Exactly. And a lot of companies are also creating their own codes of conduct
Okay.
for their suppliers.
So it's like setting the ground rules
It
for how
is.
you expect them to behave.
Exactly. And the video emphasized that ethical sourcing, it's not just a one-time thing, it's
Okay. So
ongoing.
it's continuous
Yeah,
improvement.
yes. Always looking for ways to make things more ethical,
Yeah.
more sustainable.
So it's about working with your suppliers,
Yes.
providing training and support.
Exactly, and constantly raising that bar.
Gotcha. Okay. So ethical sourcing is a big deal.
It is.
It's becoming a really core part of procurement.
It's not just a fad.
Right.
It's a fundamental shift
Okay.
in how businesses think about their supply chains and their responsibility to the world.
Right. And the video also mentioned this whole idea of continuous improvement in procurement.
Yes.
What does that actually mean?
It's about always trying to find a better way to do things more efficiently, more effectively.
So it's not about getting complacent.
It's not. You can't just assume you figured it all out
Right.
because things are constantly changing.
Yeah. New technologies, new rules, new best practices.
Exactly. So you got to stay ahead of the curve,
Right.
always be adapting.
And the video laid out some key principles
It did.
for continuous improvement in procurement.
Yes.
Like what?
Well, one of the key things is to regularly review
Okay.
and update your policies and procedures.
Okay. So making sure your policies are current.
Exactly. They should be living documents
Okay.
that adapt over time.
Right. So it's like making sure your software is up to date.
It is. You got to make sure everything's running smoothly.
Okay. And another principle was getting feedback.
Yes. Feedback is crucial.
But feedback from who?
From everyone who's involved in your procurement process.
Okay, so that includes the internal folks.
Yes. Like employees in other departments.
Right. Who depend on procurement to do their jobs.
Exactly.
And then the external folks, too.
Yes. Mm. Your suppliers and even your customers.
So you're getting input from everybody.
You are. It gives you a much clearer picture
okay.
of how you're doing.
Yeah. And what could be better.
Exactly. And of course, you got to embrace those new technologies and best practices.
Right. All that stuff we talked about. Digital procurement, e-sourcing, data analytics.
Exactly. The world of procurement is never standing still.
Right.
So you got to keep learning.
So it's about being a lifelong learner in this field.
It is. Always be curious.
Okay.
Look for those opportunities to grow.
And it's not just about reading articles.
Right.
Or going to conferences.
It's about connecting with other people.
Yeah.
Sharing those best practices, yeah. learning from each other's experiences.
So it's about building a community.
Exactly.
And sharing knowledge.
And let's not forget about data.
Right. Data's king.
It is. You got to use it to drive those improvements.
Okay.
So analyze that data. Find the areas where you can do better.
Uh-huh.
Track your progress.
Okay.
And make those informed decisions.
So data helps you measure your performance.
It does.
And then keep getting better.
Exactly. And it's about building a culture of innovation
okay.
within your team.
So encouraging people to experiment.
Yeah.
To try new things.
Even if they fail sometimes.
Right.
That's how we learn.
So it's about creating a safe space.
It is.
To innovate.
Exactly. Where people aren't afraid to take risks.
Okay. So we've covered a lot of ground.
We have from CapEx and OpEx to contract management, risk management, ethical sourcing.
We really went deep.
We did. We explored that entire procurement life cycle.
And we saw how technology is changing everything.
It is making it more efficient, transparent, yeah. and data-driven.
We talked about those supplier relationships.
Yes. Treating them like partners,
yeah.
not just vendors.
And managing risks.
Yeah.
Being ready for anything.
Exactly. And doing business ethically
yeah.
in a way that's sustainable.
So what does it all mean for our listeners?
That's the big question.
Right.
Right. Procurement's often seen as this behind-the-scenes function.
Yeah.
But it's so much more than that. It's strategic.
Right.
It can make or break a company.
Okay. So what's the one thing you want our listeners to remember?
I'd say the key takeaway is that procurement, it's not just about buying things. It's about making smart decisions
right.
that align with your goals
yeah.
and create real value.
It's about understanding that whole life cycle.
It is.
From planning to contracts uh-huh. to evaluating those suppliers.
And it's about using technology to make things easier,
right.
more transparent, and to learn from that data.
And building those strong relationships.
Yeah. Yes. Collaboration is key.
Yeah.
Treat your suppliers like partners.
Okay.
And manage those risks.
Yeah.
Be prepared for anything.
And of course, operate ethically.
Yes.
In a way that's sustainable.
Procurement. It's complex.
Yeah.
It can be challenging.
Uh-huh.
But it's also incredibly rewarding.
Yeah. You can make a real difference.
We can.
For your company and for the world.
And it's always evolving, which means you're always learning.
So for those who are just starting out in procurement.
Yeah.
Don't be scared.
Embrace the challenge.
Yeah.
Keep learning. Connect with other people.
And for those who are already experts.
Yes.
Never stop learning.
Exactly. Keep pushing those boundaries.
Procurement is vital.
It is.
And the people who are good at it.
Yeah.
They're in high demand.
They are.
So keep learning. Keep innovating. Keep making a difference.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Well, that's a wrap for this deep dive.
It is.
Thanks for joining us.
We'll see you next time.